We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Tate's Take with Deshaun Tate, featuring NCAA college basketball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on Monday Bracket Challenge Day. Hey, Daryl, spool up number 20 for me, would you? That's a little on-the-air thing here. I should have mentioned to him in the break, but I got to talking to Abe about Triple Frontier and Netflix. This happened yesterday, and we certainly wish this club. This is Dave Cohen on the call from yesterday.
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court. Up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64. And the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year. The Panthers are headed to the NCAA tournament, the fifth in program history.
And it'll be a Friday game as a 14 seed against number 3 Houston in the Midwest Regional in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, our college basketball expert is here to talk about the Panthers and the entire field.
Let me grab my pen.
All right.
Get this down. Get these.
Yeah,
these,
I was
the takes.
Yeah, see.
Might want to start off in pencil first, maybe. And start off.
With well, no, I'm gonna do a couple of
a number two one yeah, to be specific.
I got my home version here, so
okay.
That is done in old school where I write it out.
Right? And in most people's mailboxes, last night I put a little empty bracket in there for most people. So hopefully, when the other people get to work this morning, they'll see an empty bracket sitting there waiting for them. You're welcome.
Yeah, we're going to spend most of the hour talking to Deshaun about this NCAA tournament and giving you the insight. We'll go region by region. But let's just start at the beginning. First off, shout out to Ron Hunter and Georgia State. One team in the state, they have to carry the banner for the entire state.
Yeah, they've been doing that in the last few years, actually. And I'm glad to see that, you know, that they got in. I was a little concerned about them down the stretch. Towards the probably between the middle of the regular season towards the end, because even though they were winning some games that they should have been winning, they were also losing some games that I felt like they should have been winning. And it was a little bit too close to my liking. I think Ron Hunter would probably agree. But it was a tough conference this year. Texas State kind of came out of nowhere in some cases. You had the same thing with Tukey Brown and Georgia Southern as well. And the job that they've done in the last few years under Ron Hunter has been phenomenal. Really great guy and really good coach.
So talk about the matchup, because you know they got Houston. Houston Cougars, 31-3.
31-3.
31-3. Yeah. Number 3 seed. So do we have a chance to make it to the weekend, through the weekend?
I think so. I definitely think so. The concerning part of that for me is that I was looking at Houston as being one of those teams that I really thought can make a Final Four run, and while I still think they can do it because of the fact that, like, when you're filling out these brackets, again, I've been saying it for weeks, you want to pay close attention to teams that are deep, number one. Number two, teams that are experienced, they have that as well. They went to Sweet 16 last year, so they're looking to kind of rebound from the loss there and get a little bit further. And then you have to pay attention to coaching, and elite coaching is really key here. Obviously, and Kelvin Sampson, they have that. I think that he's up for that UCLA job. But when you're looking at, you know, it's not like Georgia State's out there and they're about to play a powerhouse program or anything like that. Now, give Houston some credit. They're a good team, and they're beatable. They're not unbeatable, but they're definitely a good team. They've certainly not only achieved, but they've exceeded some of the expectations that they had on the season too. It should be a really good game.
You can follow him on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports, T-A-T-E-S, Take Sports. Deshaun Tate's our college basketball expert. Let's just go to the top line. Number one seeds, 3 ACC teams and Gonzaga. Michigan State fans are mad they didn't get a number one seed. What do you make of the number one seeds and how the committee did?
I think the committee did a good job. Now, in terms of the number one seeds, I think when it comes down to being deserving, and I know, you know, I'm going to have to pull my homer card out a little bit, but I do think that Michigan State should have gotten a one seed. When you're looking at the teams in the top 10 right now, I don't know how many of those teams won their regular season and their conference tournament to go along with that. And I think they had the most quad one wins, like 16-4. I think the most second to that was, you know, maybe like 9-4, but they're not even the best They weren't even considered to be the best number two seed out there. I think Tennessee got shown a lot of love too. So, but at the end of the day, what it comes down to is the team. If you're supposed to be there in the end, you're going to be there regardless. It doesn't matter what seed you are, this and that. That stuff doesn't make a difference. Michigan State has been a two seed before and lost to a 15 seed in MTSU a couple years ago. I think that I'm not sure that Carolina should have been in there. I hope Tanisha doesn't run up in here and throw a shoe at me or anything like that. But for the most part, I think it's debatable. At the end of the day, it's March, and who's there is there, and everybody got to deal with it. Because this whole thing started, everybody was 0-0. Everybody had an opportunity to go undefeated, and if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, then you were left on the outside looking in. In Michigan State's case, they lost those two games to an Indiana team who didn't get in. I think that's what hurt them.
So, you know, back in the throughout all the tournaments, it always seems like guard play is the key to picking these. Is it still the same thing? Is it still the same thing going into this tournament this year?
It is. I think it always has a lot to do with the guard play, and you definitely want to pay a lot of attention to that, but you want to pay close attention as well, like I said earlier, is to the bench and experienced teams, experienced players. These teams, I got a lot of seniors on them. Nevada is starting 5 seniors on their roster. Obviously, Virginia's really experienced. I know some people are afraid to take them, but Gonzaga has some players on their team when they started, when they went to the Final Four, rather, a couple years ago. They still got some players that are coming back from that team. And the unfortunate part of that for some Blue Devil fans is that they don't necessarily have a lot of those, you know, upperclassmen, if you will, but they have some of the best talent in the country, them and Kentucky both. So I think that it's a combination of multiple things, but certainly experience, depth, and coaching.
Talking with Deshaun Tate, he is our college basketball expert. It certainly seems like, again, Hugh and I were talking about this earlier, the first four teams left out who all became the number one seeds in the NIT, NC State, Alabama, TCU, and Indiana, they all like to gripe. The NC State AD is out there griping about not being in the tournament. But if you make a case for being in the tournament, there's a reason that you're not as well, and they fail to see here's why we should be in without looking at to why maybe we shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, like I said, everybody started out 0-0. So when this thing was at 64 teams, there was always that 65th and 66th team. In most cases, I think we saw Virginia Tech on that bubble a lot of times when Seth Greenberg was coaching them and they weren't getting in. You're not doing nearly enough. If you take care of your business, then you don't have to worry or be concerned about those things. In this case, it's 68 teams, and now the 69th team is concerned. If we go to 100 teams, then the 101st, 102nd are going to have a problem with it. I think that the committee really did get it right. They got the teams in that I thought deserved to be in. The teams I didn't think deserved to be in didn't get in. Florida, I think the Minnesota could have gone either way, maybe Ohio State. Florida went in a couple games in their conference tournament, got in, as well as Belmont. I think they deserve to be in. I wouldn't want to be in their bracket, but TCU, Alabama, North Carolina, Greensboro, Texas, Creighton, Indiana, I really don't believe that a lot of them beefed up their non-conference schedule enough. And in a case like where Texas, they did beef up that non-conference, and they did win games against some pretty tough teams, but then they also lost to some teams that were not so good. A lot of bids stolen from St. Mary's and Oregon, who won their conference tournaments.
Talking with Deshaun Tate, talking college basketball, one thing I did notice that in the West, you have Nevada, Gonzaga, Buffalo, a lot of love given to non-Power 5 teams in some respects, not only just in terms of getting in, like you mentioned with Belmont, but also in terms of some of the seeding. And I'm glad to see that not all, you know, that it's not just the Power 5 teams. I think the tournament is respectful of those teams that have played well in their conferences and maybe deserve. Buffalo is a team that nobody's talking about out of the Mid-American Conference, but a pretty good basketball team.
No, I agree with that. They definitely are. The thing about them is that they've kind of gone from being the hunter to the hunted a little bit. They won that game last year over DeAndre Ayton and that Arizona team, and they've been ranked in the top 25 all year long. They played in a much better conference than people really pay attention to. Obviously, I don't expect everybody to be staying up late at night watching the MAC conference, Ball State, and Toledo, and Central Michigan, and Bowling Green, all those type of teams. But Buffalo has held or stand firmly, you know, on their grounds and being the top team in that conference. And they're obviously really good. I think that West Conference, and this is where I do have a little bit of a gripe with the committee, is that when you look at the two toughest regions, I think they're probably equally tough between the East region, where Duke is the one and Michigan State is the two, and then the West region. They're both on the same side of the bracket. I think that Virginia has been given a little bit more of a favorable draw, if you will. But where you do have in that West bracket, it's going to be interesting to see with that Buffalo matchup. You were talking about them. Arizona State out of the Pac-12, a conference that didn't necessarily do as well, but they were one of the better teams in them. St. John's, I think, has probably the best combo guard, point guard in the country. Kind of reminds me of Kemba Walker. He goes by the name, and I'm kind of drawing a blank there already all of a sudden. But, you know, in the end of the day, I think that'll be a really tough matchup for Buffalo, but I think that they can come through.
You know, the team that I've been talking about the last couple weeks, LSU, you know that they've had some turmoil and everything. That first round matchup against 14th ranked Yale, what do you think? Do you think that Yale could potentially knock them off?
Well, first of all, Shamori Pons was that name I was thinking of from St. John's. But no, I don't think that Yale is going to will have the capability of knocking them off. I really don't. I know that LSU is without their coach and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the job that they have done recruiting, and I mean, anything can happen. Can any of this stuff happen? Absolutely. But I'm definitely taking LSU right there, you know, with everything they bring to the table. With Tremont Waters and Naz Reid and those guys. I mean, Emmett Williams, they've got a ton of athletes. They kind of remind me of the LSU from 2006 that made a run with Big Baby Davis to the Final Four, Tyrus Thomas and all
right,
those
yeah,
guys.
Those guys, right.
Very athletic and can really play some basketball. Now, they are in a more inexperienced type of team. However, I do think that they're definitely some ball players. They have some next-level basketball players, and they don't just have one or two.
All right, we're going to get to our experts' picks on the four regions, who he thinks the team to beat is in the four regions, and which team you should watch in the four regions to be a possible upset winner of that particular region. And we'll go region by region here to help you with your brackets. It is a college basketball bracket madness Monday. We do want you to join our bracket challenge. Now, the winner gets $1,000, but that's, you know, less important than the bragging rights that you get by joining us at 929thegame.com. And at the top, you'll see contests. You click on contests, and it'll see the March bracket challenge. And you just go and click on that and fill out the form and pick your winners. I've already done it, and we'll see if yours match up with mine here at all. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I love how just this entire time I just see Hugh Douglas over there writing and flipping the pencil upside down and erasing and scratching off and crossing out.
No, because I'm seriously filling out my bracket.
Yeah,
I
love it. No, I'm telling you, I love it. This is the best time of the year, man. I know everybody gets excited about their Super Bowl and their football and their football and everything else, Atlanta United and everything else. But, dude, this is the most unpredictable, most exciting 3 weeks of sports, if you ask me personally. I know the good Lord put me here for a reason. If not for nothing else, a good 3 weeks out of the year.
The only thing I do know about bracket challenges is there's always one conference, Deshaun, that tends to do well. And if you ride that conference hard, you know, the Big Ten has a big tournament, the ACC. I'm riding the SEC hard. Auburn, you know, is a hot team right now. I'm riding all these SEC teams, a lot of them deep. And so we'll see how that works out. And if I'm right, I'm going to have a great year. If I'm wrong and the SEC has a bad year, then I'm going to be in big trouble.
You would not be the only one, John.
Yeah, no, there's going to be.
Don't put that much pressure.
No, there's going to be a lot of people. I try to encourage people, don't spend too much time on this stuff, because we get to a point where we try to overanalyze, and then you get to a point where you start, you know, overthinking it, and then you're taking too many upsets at one time. And I do believe that more than a lot of other years, this will be a year for a lot of upsets. I really believe that, and I'm glad you said something about the SEC, because I respectfully disagree with you. When you mention Auburn, I just think that that's one of those teams that what I do every year,
they're a sucker bet.
Once the bracket comes out, I always look at the matchups that stick out like a sore thumb, and it's not just because it's a traditional 5-12 matchup, but I've been watching this New Mexico State team all year long. They played on the road at Kansas, only lost by 3 points. I know that Kansas wasn't the Kansas, you know, that we're used to seeing, but they were definitely a lot more healthy than they are now with Udoka Azubuike and some of those guys. That's the one that probably stuck out to me more than anything outside of Belmont and ODU. So that's kind of like a free space on your Tate's Take bingo card right there.
Let's do one of the regions. We'll get the other three after the break because we're not going to have time for one. Let's start in the East. All right, you know, Duke's one, Michigan State's two. Who do you see coming out of the East? And as you look down this list of LSU and Virginia Tech and other schools in this, Louisville's in this bracket here. In the East bracket, who is the team that could be the one that upsets the apple cart? Is it all about Duke?
I think that it is all about Duke at this point. You know, when you have the best coach in the country and arguably in the history of the game, considering all things, you have also the most dominant and best player in the country. And they're a totally different team without him. So I think if they get to a point where, you know, they're the number one shot blocking team in the country, he's the number one shot blocker in the country, and he's young. If you put Zion Williamson into a position where you can force him to foul and get in foul trouble, take him out of the game, now you have the same Duke struggling team that you had prior to his or coming back before he got injured. Or after he got injured, rather. But for right now, we're considering him healthy. And anytime you have a guy of that massive size who can jump as high as changing the light bulbs at the top of the arena, I got to go with them.
Yeah, he's a dominant athlete. And that's why that was one of the reasons why I asked you about the guard play, because it seems to me like with Duke being in the position they're in and how important he is to that team, that he's going to be the one that has to be the catalyst in order for Duke to go all the way.
Yeah, he makes everybody on that team play harder. And everybody talks about just how he can run and jump and dunk the ball really hard. No, he gets on the ground after loose balls and gives opportunities at second chance points and effort points and hustle points. And he gets the best out of his team. He gets his guys more prepared mentally to go in there and do a better job of physically with what they can do from a skill set standpoint.
And who's the upset team out of this East? Who's the team? Mississippi State?
No, it's Belmont. I like Belmont probably to the Sweet 16, certainly to the second round to win two games, considering the play-in or first four, however you want to call it.
Okay, so Duke is the team to beat. Belmont, the upset special in the East. We'll do the other three regions with our expert, and we'll tweet all this out as we continue on our Bracket Challenge Monday on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
And it was another sluggish start for United with just one shot on goal before Ezequiel Barco salvaged the match with a header in the 70th minute that gave Five Stripes a 1-1 draw. Julian Gressel said although the team isn't where they want to be heading into the international break, the effort was a bit better on Sunday.
Obviously would have liked to start this break off with a win and go into this whole thing with 3 points and ultimately 4 in MLS, but unfortunately the result wasn't there, but I think, you know, our energy was good.
Don't take a chance on getting stranded in your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. Better parts, better prices every day. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for Tuesday's Hawks-Rockets game. Tip off at 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9.
Baseball is back.
There it is!
Get exclusive Braves coverage from Florida here.
Join us as we go live to spring training in Florida. With our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Jordan, you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. March Madness bracket time. You can go to our website, 929thegame.com, and join up. My picks are in. Real simple to do. You go to 929thegame.com. At the top, you'll see contests. Click on that. When you click on that, you'll see March Madness Bracket. And you click on that and just make your picks. It's super simple. Sign up, make your picks. $1,000 to the winner. It's free to play. And, of course, you get bragging rights. And we will also be shouting out the leaders of the tournament as we go through the first round. And whoever's kind of the day-to-day leader is going to get a lot of love on the radio, too. So your chance to kind of brag to your friends. Hey, look at me. We're talking with our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, kind of going through the bracket. Says Duke is the team to beat, and Belmont is your upset special in the East. Let's go to the West here. Who's the team to beat, and who's your upset special?
I think the team to beat here is definitely North Carolina. I think, and to be
no,
quite
no, 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 the way I said the West. I don't want to confuse people.
Oh,
you went
okay.
to the South.
Oh, okay.
You yeah, stand no. on the same side of the bracket.
Oh, okay, in the West. Okay, good deal. Gonzaga is definitely the team to beat there, upset special, who do we have there? Oh, Syracuse. And that's a potential matchup in the second round. I really think that Syracuse, out of all the 8-9 seeds, what is that, with 2, 4, 6, 8? I'm not good at math. So about 8 different teams, I think that Syracuse is the one that's more poised to probably come away with an upset. We can see Gonzaga, a questionable 1 seed, didn't win their conference tournament, allowed 74 points out of an 8 seed in Pepperdine in their conference tournament. With the way that Syracuse style of play, the tough zone, the length, the athleticism, I think that that's a tough, really, really tough matchup for a team like Gonzaga.
Yeah, in the South, we'll just go ahead and get through these and then we can move on with the discussion. In the South, your team to beat, you listed it to me as Tennessee over Virginia, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it is Tennessee. I think there's some vulnerability to Tennessee. They may have peaked a little bit too early, won 19 games in a row earlier this year. Got really good players in Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. But again, as I've been saying for probably feels like forever now, I really don't trust Rick Barnes in this situation. So that's who that is. But in terms of upset special, I feel very similar to Carson Williams-led team, kind of a one-man-led team in Purdue. I like ODU not only to just beat Purdue, but it'll be really close between them and Villanova, the defending national champions, to move on to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you about Villanova. Aren't they, when you look at Villanova, I know they started off in the season a little bit rough.
They
but
did.
They're starting to play some good basketball right about now. You don't think that they'll make a nice little run in the South?
I think that they can, but I think that it'll probably end somewhere around their last game being in the Sweet 16, perhaps. I think that, you know, being a team that lost four guys to the NBA and to get to the Sweet 16 after that happens, you don't mm-hmm. hear that very often. I think that, you know, obviously will give them some credit. They're obviously a tough team. The Big East isn't what it used to be, but it's still somewhat of a, you know, I mean, it's a Power 5 conference. They won the regular season. They won the conference tournament. You do all those things because of a good reason, and it's also because they're really well coached.
Yeah, yo, they are. Jay Wright's a great coach, and they are the defending national champions.
And a good dresser, too.
Yep. Midwest, you say that Carolina may be the team to beat out of this. I think this is the weakest region.
I can see that. I think Virginia may. No, I think it's Virginia. I think Virginia's region is the weakest region in
really?
My personal opinion. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at this and I say, you know, Utah State's a nice team, but I just don't. There's so much unknown for me. Like, for example, Kelvin Sampson has a 31-3 team that Georgia State's going to play in Houston. I haven't seen Houston play this year, so I don't know much about them.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the teams I haven't caught, so I don't really know much about Houston. So you say that North Carolina, the team to beat and the team to keep your eye on, is and you're being echoed by a lot of people, that Iowa State could come out of the bottom half of that bracket.
Yeah, they can. They're playing really good basketball. They won their conference tournament, so they're peaking at the right time. And, you know, on top of that, I mean, you're sitting looking at that second-round matchup, perhaps a Wofford who has a really, really good basketball player in Fletcher McGee, a guy we probably haven't seen that's able to shoot the ball like anywhere close to like a Steph Curry type or even like a J.J. Redick type. Now, I don't expect that he's going to, you know, come out and look like Trae Young or anything like that, but he'll be really hard to prepare for. But once you shut him down, it looks a little different. So I think that Kentucky will be right there. And Kentucky's still a really good team. Now, the North Carolina-Utah State game, if Utah State comes out, I think will be really tough, very similar to the Gonzaga-Syracuse matchup in the second round. Kansas doesn't look like the Kansas of old, and I expect Kansas to win the one game against the 13 seed, but New Mexico State, I'm taking them on to the Sweet 16. So it's some really good teams here, probably the most difficult teams in here to be able to decide which game to come out of the winner. And I think of this game in the second round, the winner will go on to the Final Four. That's Iowa State and Houston, I really believe.
So wait a minute, you got New Mexico State over Auburn?
Oh, absolutely.
After
that's the one that stuck out like a sore thumb to me, man. Outside of the Belmont, that's the one. New Mexico State over Auburn for sure. Auburn looks like fool's gold to me. Don't let yesterday's conference
exactly,
tournament
yeah.
championship. That's where people are going to get really confused at, because all people are going to remember is by what they saw last. I'm not letting that fool me. New Mexico State is a much better team. And they're playing at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's up watching that except for me, and I don't know what that says about my life.
You can follow him at Tate Sports, and you can his upset specials and his teams to beat up on our Twitter right now at 929 The Game. So Deshaun, I understand what you're saying, but I also believe in something. Set aside Duke because and Michigan State because they were already powerhouses, but I look at the power conferences and I look at Auburn, I look at Villanova, you know, I look at Oregon, I look at teams that have, you know, gotten hot and run through their conference tournament and, you know, Kansas State. You know, when you're hot in your conference tournament, we've seen so many times where a team can get hot in their conference tournament and take that, we saw it one year with UConn, remember, when they won the national title and they mm-hmm. had to go, four conference tournament games and they ended up winning 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You can get hot in your conference tournament and take that into the NCAA tournament. So I tend to lean a little bit on that kind of aspect, too, when I'm making picks, should I or not?
Well, everybody's got their own way. You know, I'm not the person trying to tell another person how they should and should not fill out their bracket. And everybody has really good points. I'm not going to get this thing perfect. Nobody's perfect at this thing. I've just watched it all year long while everybody else was on their football kick. So outside of that, I mean.
That was a little smug. You said that.
No, but he's
well, I mean,
right.
I got a football guy in here, and I don't want to get beat up in this place, but it's March, so I think I deserve a pass.
No, you got it. I'm just saying.
I don't want to get bench pressed by Hugh Douglas in this place.
A little smug.
But no, there's just a a lot of teams I'm just really not big believers in moving forward because of a lot of players that they've lost. And then you start looking at the experience. But a lot history tells me a lot about certain teams. So I'm looking at Kansas State, a team that went, for example, to the Elite Eight last year. And they've still got everything back. And they're really experienced. But I don't trust Bruce Weber, and Dean Wade isn't playing as of right now as it stands. And that makes a big difference. Something like that makes a big difference to me. And I don't see Kansas State going on to do this thing ever in history of the school, you know, the program. I haven't seen Tennessee in the Final Four, if they've even been to the Final. Have they been to the Final Four? I'm sure you. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel. Same thing with Auburn.
No, they've been to the Elite Eight, I think. They
went to the Elite Eight, I think it was 2009 or 2010, because I think Michigan State put them out. But regardless of the fact, sometimes there's teams that just have to do it. They just have to show me. Now, does that mean that these teams can't do it? Because at one point, we never saw George Mason do it. We never saw Butler do it in back-to-back, you know, before they went back-to-back.
Right.
Same thing with, you know, George Mason, VCU, all of these, Loyola.
Is there a Loyola this year? That was my next question. Is there a team that you're not paying any attention to? That, I mean, you said Old Dominion earlier is a team that you like. Is there a team out there that a Houston, an Old Dominion, is there a team that suddenly finds itself in the Final Four and we are going, wow, here's your, because it seems like every year we get the Wichita State, we get the Butler, we get the Loyola. Every year there's a team that makes that deep run.
I think it's it has potential of three different teams, and I don't love their chances, but if I had to pick, it'll be right there between Houston would be in that conversation. Buffalo would certainly be in that conversation, and there's another one that I'm not quite sure of just yet, but I don't believe that it's ODU. Between those two, Nevada is another one of those teams. Made it to the Sweet 16 last year, ended up losing five seniors, really good coach, Eric Musselman. I can see him taking his team all the way to the Final Four and turning around and taking that UCLA job. I really can, especially in a bracket that they're in where Gonzaga's at the top, and they're one of the weaker seeds in that region. I think that it can happen. I don't think it will, but it definitely can. I wouldn't put it past them.
Is it all about Duke all the way through? I mean, are they a lock for the title game?
I wouldn't say a lock for the title game. I personally think that they are. I really feel like they're pretty much a lock for the Final Four. If they're a lock for the Final Four, I got a feeling that they're a lock for the title game. But anything can happen. You know, the thing about Duke is I don't get the feel that they get all the way to the Final Four and then lose. That's typically not a Duke team. I know that they've done it, you know, in the past against, you know, UConn 1 year. I think that was in 99, and same thing with it was another team, I can't, UNLV or something like that, I think. But other than that, there aren't too many times they get that far. If you're going to beat Duke, you're going to beat them early. The same way South Carolina, I think they did a few years back when they went to the Final Four and made that run in Arizona. So in this case, you're talking about a healthy Zion Williamson, a game changer. Probably the biggest one that there is in college basketball right now. A generational player, the best coach in the game. He's got some pretty good pieces around him, but the key there will certainly be Cam Reddish, that's for sure. And they've got to make sure that they're hitting free throws and making, you know, shots from the outside, because teams start slowing this down. They like to get out in transition. When you start playing older, more experienced teams, you know, things start looking a little different. Zion Williamson in foul trouble, the team start, you know, they're in a whole different kind of territory now at this point where games start to look a little bit different and they start to look like freshmen, something we haven't seen too much with a healthy Zion.
You know, speaking of that, there's a lot of young teams that are in this tournament. What about some of the older teams that you see that might be a surprise?
To me, I don't think it'll be a surprise, but I think that Virginia, I've said that Virginia has been a lock for my Final Four since the beginning of the season. I really feel that way. I really believe that. They've got a lot more offense to go with their defense. Everybody talks about they're one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they are, but they didn't have the offense to go with it. All of those guys come back pretty much, and they're much more experienced now having an extra year. My concern about them, obviously, is you put them in the game against a team that is not afraid of them, obviously, and hitting shots is like throwing a rock into the ocean, and they're experienced, and, you know, they've got a pretty good coach on the side, too, and they're up by double digits on Virginia. Do they have the style of play to where they can come back in a game, being down by double digits, come back and win? And I don't really get that feel. At least history hasn't shown that, but I don't think that that'll be the case because of the region that they're in. They're in a very favorable region and the way that they're set up in their side of the bracket. I got them to the Final Four for sure.
Cool.
Well, it's going to be a fun tournament. Starts tomorrow with the first four in Dayton. And get your bracket challenge in now at 929thegame.com. Deshaun's going to put his in today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will be there. I'll have all of my games picked and still got a couple little things to go through. But, you know, I'll be ready, man. I'm excited about it.
Thank you, Deshaun.
Thank you guys for having me at Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports.
You the man.
Atlanta soccer fans, you can join 92 on the Game at Carriage Key in Woodstock, noon to 2 Saturday for a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer players Michael Parker, Jeff Loretta, Mike Cotty, Jason Longshore, broadcasting live, talking all things soccer. And cool stuff to draw for, too, like a Parkey jersey. That's 92 on the Game, Carriage Key at Woodstock, noon to 2 this Saturday for the live broadcast and the players as well. All right, we're chatting up the bracket madness. Who's going to be in the Final Four? Who's gonna win it all in Indianapolis? Minneapolis, pardon me, in Minnesota. On Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
It's shot score!
All Atlanta United are back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Monday, our Bracket Challenge Monday. We encourage you to go to our website, 929thegame.com, click on the contest tab, and it's free to play. Fill out your picks and submit them, and then you could win $1,000, but it's really bragging rights. My picks are in. As I said, Hugh, it's interesting to listen to Sean Tate because I have a bit of a problem this year. I took Duke to win it all.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like going chalk, and I don't like Duke. I'm not a fan of Duke.
Yeah, but you're a fan of Zion Williamson. And you've been a fan of him since day one. So that makes total sense. I got a feeling it might be somebody else. I don't know who yet. I as I go through here looking at my bracket and I took down some of Tate's takes as far as some of the teams that he picked for upsets and everything. I wrote a little bit of that in there, but I just have a feeling. The beautiful thing about the NCAA tournament is two things, John, is that you have more mid-majors that are making noise in the tournament now, and there's always somebody that comes out of nowhere and makes and probably is upset. So it to me, I think that when you're talking about the veteran squads, I think they have a better chance. You're talking about like Virginia, somebody like that. So it might be it could potentially be Virginia. It could be a team that nobody's really talking about right now.
Yeah, Nevada's got a veteran squad too. All transfers, I think they may be all seniors, or at least four of them are seniors. And you know, they've got a really good team. Nevada's got a really good team. I'm surprised there's only a 7 seed. I have 8 college teams that I root for in basketball. 8.
Interesting.
And none of them made the tournament. So I got nobody.
Well, you know, I know one of them is Nebraska.
Well, I went to Nebraska. I did play-by-play at Wake Forest. I did play-by-play at San Diego State. I did play-by-play at Chattanooga. That's 4 of them. My daughter goes to Kennesaw State. That's 5. Creighton was the first team I ever rooted for. That's 6. Indiana's my wife's team. That's 7. And then UTEP, because I lived a year of my life in El Paso, Texas when I was a kid. And I rooted for UTEP for 1 year. And so, hey, they've got a national championship banner. UTEP's got a championship banner.
Well, yeah, you're kind of spread. You're spread a little thin. No question about that.
And none of them made the tournament. So
yeah, you're a little thin. You're a little thin.
I got nobody to root for, so I'm going to go State, go. Go Panthers, go.
As you should. I think I have Georgia State? I got Georgia State winning their first round game against Houston. I got them beating Houston. Don't think they're going to get past Iowa State, though.
See, here's my only thing is that I was telling Deshaun, I watch college basketball. I'm a fan of college basketball, but that doesn't mean I see everybody. And
it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, it really is. And so I have not seen Houston play all year. And then, like, he's got New Mexico. He's trying to talk me into New Mexico State over Auburn. Don't be fooled that it's fool's gold what I saw yesterday with Auburn. All I saw was Auburn block party and knocking down threes and everything else, Hugh. And I was going, I got Auburn kind of going deep here. I think Auburn could give Carolina a game. And I'm going, uh-oh.
You got to go with your heart on that one, because I kind of was in the same spot. When he said that about New Mexico, I changed my pick, to be totally honest. I changed it to New Mexico because I gave him the benefit of the doubt in this situation because he does watch so much college basketball. But, yeah, I'm like you, John. I look at the way that they played yesterday, and I'm thinking that you're kind of overlooking Auburn just a tad bit. You know, and you get hot like that and shoot the way you did towards the end of the tourney, and you getting ready to go into the tournament. I mean, that has to account for something.
Yeah, that's what I think. I tend to look at these, and this is the way I do it. If you're hot in your conference tournament, that means there's something to that. You're peaking at the right time. Look, I still think Tennessee is a very good basketball team, despite what happened to them in Nashville. I still think that, you know, they
can go out. Sometimes it's just the matchups. Like, it's like anything. Sometimes it's just the matchups.
Yeah, right. For example, You know, I don't know much about Cincinnati. I saw them play like 5 minutes of a game once this year. They looked like they were an athletic team. And so how does Tennessee match up against Cincinnati if that's a second-round matchup? I don't know. You know, he doesn't like Purdue as much as I do because I think Carson Edwards is a hell of a player. I think Carson Edwards, Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, Carson Edwards can light it up. But he likes Old Dominion to win that game. So, again, this is just all kind of guesswork here. You know, when you get into this kind of thing. He likes Belmont coming out of the first four to the Sweet 16. Wow. That's something. You know, that's an interesting pick.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, again, nobody, like, that's the beautiful part about it. Because I just got a text message. Houston is more from a friend of mine. Houston's my alma mater. Georgia State would not beat them. Let's bet on it. Like, a bet. I'm not in the bet. I'm not betting. I'm not going to bet. I'm not that comfortable with that bet. I'm not comfortable.
By the way, Kelvin Sampson is the head coach at Houston. Boy, does he look – he's 31-3 at Houston. He was really good at Oklahoma, got fired for making too many phone calls. He actually got fired for making impermissible phone calls at Oklahoma. He goes to Indiana. He gets fired again for making impermissible phone calls. Now, think of all the scandals that go on in college basketball, all of them. Impermissible phone calls to recruits? That's what you get fired for?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. You call them the recruits when you can't call them, and you get fired for that?
What do you call them at night? Hey, what you doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, really? And he's 31-3 at Houston. Do you think Indiana misses him now? And why is Kelvin Sampson not going to a big school? Because he got fired twice for making impermissible phone calls? Man, what does Kelvin Sampson have to do to, you know, kind of earn respect as a coach?
Probably pay somebody off like the Beckys did.
I guess.
Yeah, like the Beckys did.
Pay it off like a Becky. Yeah, that's really fascinating. So go in there and do your bracket challenge at 929thegame.com. Yeah, I don't want Duke to win because I don't like Duke. But at the same time, Zion Williamson, just as an athlete, I wish he wasn't on Duke. I wish he was on another team, is so much fun to watch. He's just great theater. And the idea of him being in the Final Four in Minneapolis, and yeah, it's just great stuff. He is so good.
I understand where you're coming from when you say you don't like certain teams. But, John, this is the NCAA tournament. Enjoy it. Like, I feel like you're giving yourself a heartburn because you don't like Duke and you're fighting the fact that you don't want to root for him. It shouldn't be that hard. Just root for some great matchups and some upsets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just enjoy it for that. This is one of the main reasons why, for me personally, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, I just pick them as I go because I don't want to invest that much energy in it and then, if I'm wrong, to be upset the next day. I don't want to do it like that.
How was your weekend? We'll chop up some of the headlines, too. Mike Conley's going to join us at 9:20. Still ahead on this very busy Monday on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.